إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Al-Muntaqa by Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah. The chapter we are taking today, inshallah, is Babu Tathir al-Ard al-Najisa bil-Mukasara. The chapter has to do with the cleansing of the unclean land or area bil mukasara by adding more water. An Abi Urayra قال from Abu Uraira, he said, قام عربي فبال في المسجد. A Bedouin rose the masjid and urinated inside it. You know, the Bedouins, that is the Bedouin Arabs, they are people who are not exposed to the teachings of the deen. The companions were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the city of Medina. They will learn the deen day in day out. The Bedouins were far away from the city. Those who embraced Islam amongst them would not learn the deen with the companions who are with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the city of Medina will learn. Some of the things that the companions who are with him knew about the deen, the Bedouins did not know those things. That's one angle. Another angle is that the Bedouins, they are harsh people. And that's why it is said that Man Bada Jaffa. So whoever lives in the rural area, Jaffa, will be harsh in nature. That is, this courtesy of a thing will not be there. There will be harshness in relating with people. Then there will be some things that they will be doing that you would think this person is not civilized, is not exposed, and things like that. So the Bedouins, they were used to urinating anywhere. Just you can urinate in the open place. So when he was in the masjid, he felt that open place, so to say, or the free place inside the masjid, it's a place that one can urinate, just as one can urinate anywhere outside in the open. And you know, the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then was not tiled the way our masajid have been tiled today, not rubbed, not carpeted, not having any mat on it. It's just something with small pebbles or sandy. So the man felt that he could just move to a corner of the masjid and urinate there. So Baal of the masjid, he urinated inside the masjid. So the companion seated with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were not comfortable with his practice. فقام إليه الناس ليقعوا به. So the people rose to him in order to beat him. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دعوه دعوه. Let us leave him. وأريق على بوله سجلا من ماء أو ذنوبا من ماء. Pour a bucket of water on his urine. This is where the shahid is. You know, when somebody urinates on the ground, on the sand, definitely the sand has become what? Mutanajis. It has become mutanajis. That is, it has born filth. So how are we going to remove the filth from a sand? Urine has mixed with the sand. How are we going to purify the sand? How are we going to clean the sand from the filth that has mixed with it? So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ariqu ala bawlihi sajlan. Yani, something of dalu, that is dalu, like a bucket. Sajla min ma'in, aw zanuban. Zanub, sajlu, dalu, they all mean the same thing. Ariqu, from araqa yuriqu, iraqatan, that is sabba, to pour something. Ariqu ala bawli sajlan min ma'in, aw zanuban min ma'. Pour a bucket of water on the urine. That means when a bucket of water is poured on his urine, it neutralizes the urine and the sand becomes pure again the way it was before the man urinated on it. So this is what the author meant when he said bil mukafara. That is by pouring more water. Now, if they pour less than the noob of water, it will not neutralize it. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them to pour a bucket of water. And don't forget, we have discussed if we have a bucket of water, for instance, or we have the bowl of water and something of urine or filth drops in it, is it filthy or not? It depends on the mazhab. Now the mazhab that is wavia, or the waviest mazhab, which one? The Maliki. Now if you say the Shafi'i, that means if it is not up to two kullah, that is if it is less than 190-something liters or so, according to some measurement. So if it is less than that, the water has gone, the water is filthy. But if you go by the mazhab of the Malikiya, as long as the urine or the filth has not changed the color or the odor or the taste. Is that clear? So, the bucket of water, is it up to 2 kulla? Then when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them to pour a bucket of water on the urine of that man, if you want to go by the madhab of the Shafi'i and the Hanabila, will it be enough to take care of what of the what? The fuse. Are you with me? This urine, just a drop of urine falls in the water, so to say, that is less than 2 kulla. The Shafi'iyya, the Hanabila, the Hanafiyya, they have the opinion that that water has become what? Filthy. Because it is less than 2 kulla according to the Shafi'iyya and the Hanabila. And according to the Hanafiyya, it is less than, it's less than a pool. It's less than what? Than a pool. So it is only the madhab of the Malikiyya that will go here. That is when they say what? We are expecting that drop of urine to have what? Impact on the water. Either by changing its color or by its taste or its odor. Don't forget, I said in among the Malikiyya themselves, if the water is very small, like just a bowl of water, they also have the view that وَقَلِيلُ الْمَاءِ يُنَجِّسُهُ قَلِيلُ النَّجَاسَةِ As Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani said in his book Ar-Risala. Now, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said here, أَرِيكُ عَلَى بَوْلِي فَجْلًا مِنْ مَاءٍ أَوْ ذَنُوبًا مِنْ مَاءٍ. So a bucket of water, if poured on urine, definitely when the Messenger of Allah said what he said, it means it will neutralize the filth, the urine, and the sand will become what? Pure. Only it is wet now, but it becomes what? Clean. Are you with me? What was the response of the Shafi'iyya to this? They said, Nufarriq بين ورود الماء على النجاسة وورود النجاسة على الماء. We differentiate between water coming to meet the najasa and najasa coming to meet the water. If najasa come to meet the water must be up to what? To kulla. But if the water is coming to meet the najasa, the most important thing is to flush the najasa away. Is it clear? So, if they do not say this, they will not be able to watch to explain a lot of things. Take for instance, if somebody defecates or urinates and he wants to cleanse himself, how many buckets of water will he use to make his, so to say, clean? Because as he's pouring water to the najasa, that water is becoming what? I hope it is clear. So they say we differentiate between urud al-ma'i al-najasa urudi al-ma'a. So this is the explanation. But if one goes by the madhab of the Malikiyya, things will be easier. There is no differentiating between urud al-ma'i al-najasa urudi al-najasa al-ma'a. The most important thing is that if the color, the odor, and the taste has not been affected, then we say the water is what? It's pure. Is it clear? So when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ahriku ala bawli sajla min ma'i aw dhanuban min ma'a," it tells us that the water has neutralized it. The water has what? Neutralized it. So, then after that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ ميسرين ولم تبعثوا معسرين. Therefore, you have been raised to be muyassirin, to make things easy for people. وَلَمْ تُبْعَثُوا مُعَسِّرِينَ. You have not been raised to make things difficult for people. Ordinarily, the companions, they wanted to beat the man. Why? Because he did a very wrong thing. Urinating inside the masjid is a very big crime. But this man, he is jahil. And part of our deen is al-udhru bil-jahl. If you excuse somebody based on what? For their ignorance. If all of us were not to be excused for our ignorance, then a lot of things would have been damaged. Only if you know much, a lot of things you do not know. You get it? You know a lot, there are a lot of things that you do not know. But where there is evil is when you know the truth and you too stubborn. You know the truth, but you don't want to accept the truth because this is what your teacher has said. Because this is what your loved sheikh has said. So you don't want to accept it. This is where there is problem. But for the fact that one is ignorant of a thing, all of us are ignorant. We know some things, we do not know some things. And that's why it is compulsory on those who know to spread the knowledge, not to conceal it, not to keep themselves hidden from the people. You have to teach the people. You have to teach the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We are not going to punish the people until we raise messenger. Because hujjah ought to be what? Established first. I have to know that what I'm doing is wrong. Somebody does not know what he's doing is wrong, we don't punish him for that. Allah says, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. We have raised Rusul, messengers, مُبَشِّرِينَ, given glad tidings to those who follow them, وَمُنذِرِينَ, warning people who disobey them from the punishment of Allah. Why? Why has Allah raised the messengers? لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. So that people will not have any excuse against Allah after the messengers have been raised. So that لِيَهْلِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. So those who are going to get destroyed, get destroyed based on what? Knowledge is evidence. So what will be left on the day of Qiyamah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them? So they will say what? لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. If you had heard what the messengers brought, or we have applied our intellect, we have used it well, مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ, would not be today among the inmates of hellfire. فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَصُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. On that day, they will be confessing their sins. Allah says, فَصُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. So the people of Sa'ir, of hellfire, will be distanced from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah save us from this. So this man was ignorant. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated him according to what? His knowledge. So when the companions wanted to treat him the way they would treat one of them, the companions living in Medina wanted to treat that man the way they would treat one of them, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Da'uhu, leave him. La tuzrimuhu. La tuzrimuhu." What does la tuzrimuhu, what does it mean? يعني لا تجعله يقطع بوله ولا تقطع عليه بوله. Don't make him break his urination. Because if you continue chasing him because you want to slap him, you want to eat him, the man continues to run. And when he continues to run, he will be littering the masjid the more with the splash of the urine. Not only that, the urine will also splash on his garment. Not only that, it may also splash the urine on your own garment. So the evil becomes what? Many. So where are you going to pour water? You have to pour water all over the masjid. So instead of using just a bucket of water, you need tens of buckets of water in order to wash, in order to wet the masjid. So instead of you to save the man from, instead of you to allow the man to wash, to allow his to use his garment for prayer, by chasing him around and he has urinated on the garment, he will not be able to pray with the garment. In fact, that may even send all of you home if the man also splashes the urine on your body. You'll have to go home and change your clothes. And that's why this da'wah needs watch. It needs wisdom. It needs wisdom. At times you know this is the right thing to do, to say at a particular time. But if you say it, it's going to lead to greater evil. Then you keep quiet. Not because you are supporting that thing, but it is not right to say it. And this is what the scholars will say, if you know that you change a munkar, it's going to lead to munkar ankar minhu, fala yajuzul inkar. You try to correct something. What you try to correct, instead of the munkar, that evil thing reducing, it increases. And you say, no, I must do the inkar. Now that you have done the inkar, what have you benefited from it? It has led to what? Munkar ankar aminu. This is not the way of the messengers of Allah, nor the way of the Salafus Salih. So you do inkar al munkar so that the munkar can be lifted completely. If it is not lifted completely, it is reduced. If this is what is going to happen, then you can do the inkar al munkar. If the munkar is going to be lifted completely, you can do it, or you should do it. If it is going to be reduced, you should do it. If the munkar is going to be lifted, but another munkar will replace it of the same level, the question is, what have you achieved? You remove this munkar, another munkar of the same level has replaced it. Have you really achieved anything? So these scholars, they differ. Some have the opinion that, well, you can do the inkar. Some say, what is the benefit of the inkar? You are trying to correct something and an evil of equal magnitude is going to replace it. It's like what, back to square one. Some say, do it. Don't do it in car. But they all agree that if the munkar is going to lead to munkar ankara, then you don't do the inkar. Because you are worsening the situation. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Da'uhu la tuzrimuhu." Then he told them the reason why he said he should leave the man. إنما بعثت ميسرين ولم تبعثوا معسرين. You have been raised to do taysir, to make things easy for people. Some people, they misunderstood this taysir to mean don't do inkarul munkar. No, that is not taysir. Taysir is not for you to say what is haram is halal. Today you have some people who ascribe to knowledge. They do tahleel of al-muharramat, things that are forbidden. They do the tahleel. They allow the people to watch, to do them. All in the name of what? Fiqh. Fiqh. Fiqh, fiqh. You will be doing the tahleel of what Allah has forbidden. Particularly when it has to do with the rich people, or it has to do with those in authorities. And that's why they are called what? The scholars of the government. The scholars of the government. Now, there are people who do the tahleel of Muharramat not for the government, but for the people. For the people. So these people are called what? The scholars of Al-Ummah. The scholars of the people. It is wrong for you to be scholar of government, and it is also wrong for you to be the scholars of the people. Rather, you should be what? Alimul Millah. The scholars of the deen, the religion. The scholar of the deen tells the truth every time. At times the truth that is saying today may affect the government. And the one that he says tomorrow may affect the people. When it affects the government, not that you will be attacking the government directly, but you will be criticizing some things that the government are doing, not directed to the government. Take for instance, we all know that it is haram to take what? Riba. Yes, the government has established a lot of riba institutions. You will be what? Criticizing the consumption of intoxicants. Despite the fact that the government has given license to a lot of juries. How this is clear? Now, it is only a fool that you say when you criticize the taking of riba, you criticize the consumption of intoxicant, the sale of intoxicant, the production of intoxicant, the grain of zina and the likes. It is only a fool that you say you are criticizing the government. Because the government is doing something that is haram, won't talk. No. It is not our way to be silent on what is evil. But for you to say Governor so-and-so is what is promoting river, he's doing things, he's doing... No, that is wrong. مَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَنْصَحَ لِذِي سُلْطَانٍ فَلَا يُبْدِهِ عَلَانِيَةً. Whoever wants to admonish somebody in authority, he should not do that publicly. ولكن يأخذ بيدي يخلو به ويأخذ بيد فإن قبل منه فذاك إلا فقد أدى الذي عليه. What should he do? He should be in seclusion with him. Tell him the truth. If the one in authority takes what he has told him, فذاك alhamdulillah. وإلا if he does not, فقد أدى الذي عليه, he has done his own part of it. A lot of us today, when we have the opportunity to mount the member, we attack the rulers. We will mention his name and we say this is what? This is da'wah. But this is not da'wah. This is the way of the Khawarij. This is the way of the Khawarij. This is inciting the masses against the government. This is wrong. So you may criticize riba, consumption of intoxicants, production of intoxicants, but don't connect it to the government. If you have to talk to the government, you have the opportunity to go and meet the government, you go and meet them. But the evil today is that some people, when they get to the government, they soften their speech and begin that place with brown envelope. When they get back to the people, they cheer the people. If truly you are sincere and you have what opportunity to meet the government, we have some people today who are ascribed to knowledge. When the government wants to do anything, they invite them to their functions. Meaning they are very close to the government. So if they see the government going astray, they won't tell the government one-on-one. But they want to do something, that is to mount the member and attack the government in order to cheer the masses. You know the so-called Arab saint, it is this word of mouth that led to all those destructions, loss of lives, just word of mouth. Somebody just speaks or spoke and all those things came. To the extent that you hear somebody saying, yes, I'm Sheikh of Fitna. I'm Sheikh of Fitna. And I pray Allah raise me with the Shuyukh of Fitna. And the person was residing in Qatar, during crisis, in Egypt, in Syria, and people are just dying, being destroyed, orphaned, widowed. In Qatar, somebody is living in Qatar. I was living in Qatar, and I was cheering the people, cheering the masses. Recently, one of them, the former Mufti of Libya, in person of what's the name? I've forgotten his name. He's now presently is in Turkey. Saudi Guriani. He's presently in Turkey. Some months back, he was still jeering the people from Turkey there, jeering the people in Egypt, Libya, that they should all rise against these wicked rulers. I said, when I heard this, I said, it's only the foolish people that will listen. You are a Libyan citizen and you run to Turkey. You should remain in Libya and champion this with your wives and children. Then people will know that you are sincere. But for you to flee out of the country and you cheer people, wallahi, it is insincerity. It is insincerity. What you know you cannot do, why jeering people, jeering the children of other people to go and do it? Is that the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in battlefield, you see him in forefront. Even when the companions are what? When they were fleeing, he was there continuing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a leader. Not somebody that will jeer people into crisis here and the next thing is what? Is in Britain, Germany, France, America, and you say what is political, he has gone for what political asylum. What type of political asylum is that? Remain in your country and continue to what? To fight the struggle, to continue the struggle. We know you are sincere. But for you to be jeering people, making people to lose their lives, and you and your children, your wife, you are outside the country, going to the big malls, going to the big supermarkets, buying this, buying that, and the people are being killed in thousands here. No. Wallahi, I can never follow such a scholar. I can never follow such a scholar. One of them was on Al Jazeera TV one day, and he was cheering people towards the issue of Palestine. Somebody just called him. He said, "Sheikh, you are there giving us fatwa to go and do jihad in Palestine, and we are not seeing you, Mashaikh, participating in this." Wallahi, what the Sheikh said is that, so he want them to kill all of us. So the kill is called Akiri. Is there anything wrong with this called first jihad? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of this ummah, fought jihad and he was wounded in battlefield. So yours is just to give fatwa. So it is very, very important to learn the deen. So when we say things like this, it's not that we hate some people, no. But I cannot allow people to be doing things that is against the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What I cannot do, I won't tell people to watch, to be doing it, telling them this is what you should do. Why I'm also what, running away from doing it. So this person that wrote, that's not okay. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama bu'ithtum muyassirin wa lam tub'athu mu'assirin." There have been ways to make things easy for people. So the taysir does not mean to water down the deen the way some people are doing. No. Taysir is to stick to what the deen says. It may appear as if it is hard or difficult to do. It is appearing like that to you. But that is taysir. So some people, they say, well, the deen is what? Ad-deen yusrun. As the Messenger of Allah said, وَلَنْ يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَ. The religion is, and nobody will make the religion difficult except the deen, except that the deen defeats him. Yes. But what is taysir? Taysir is to say it the way Allah said it. At-ta'asir is for somebody to look at the difficult things that the Sharia has not brought. This is what the Sharia has said. This is not something of piety. Let me add more. Like when some people add about the fasting of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Qiyamul Layl of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كَأَنَّهُمْ تَقَالُّهُ We believe to that. The Messenger of Allah say, we will not do more than this. فَأَنَّهُمْ تَقَالُّهَا. So when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had what they preferred, one of them said, "Ask me, I will never get married. I will never get married." He knew what the ibad of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like. He knew he got married. But the man said, "I would never get married." The other one said, "As for me, I will be fasting every day of my life." The third one said, "No sleep at night. Henceforth, all my nights will be what? Will be spent in Nafila. No sleep at all at night." This is what At-Ta'asir is, making things difficult for oneself. When the Messenger of Allah added, he did not approve. But I said what? He said, "Ana atqakum Allah. Waqshakum Allah. I fear Allah more than you people." This is not the issue of Ad-Ghufri Allah umata qaddam min zambi umata akhar. We can't compare ourselves to him. all his past sins and the sins he's yet to commit have been forgiven. The Messenger of Allah said, no, this is not the matter. I fear Allah more than you people. I fear Allah more than you people. So, at-ta'asir is to make things difficult for yourself and make things difficult for people. What the Sharia has not imposed on people, you impose it on them. This is at-ta'asir. What the Sharia has not imposed on you, you impose it on yourself. This is what at-ta'asir, making things difficult for yourself. So, and that's why you see the Salafus Salih, they try to follow at-taysir. Because the deen is what? It's yusru. The yusru should not be taken to mean what? To throw away what Allah has made compulsory. Or to take with levity what Allah has forbidden. That is not taysir. So today in the world we have these two parties. Then we have those who are in wasat, they're in between. When you say somebody is in between, doesn't mean what? Okay, this people have said this, this people have said this. Let me try to be in between. In between is what the text is. What the Salaf Salih are upon. This is the in-between that you are talking about. How this is clear. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُيَسِّرِينَ وَلَمْ تُبْعَثُوا مُعَسِّرِينَ. So we understand from this that the companions will also make mistakes. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will correct them. Will correct them. And this is the beauty of Islam. You don't keep quiet when people make mistakes. Some people want you to keep quiet today when people make mistakes. So it's everybody that doesn't know how to do things. It's only you people that know how to. No, you are not coming up with evidence. If they say so-and-so has said so-and-so that is wrong, he has done so-and-so that is wrong, you come out and prove that what he has done is what? Is right with so-and-so evidence. But for you to say it's everybody that doesn't know anything, does not know how to do it except you people. You have not brought evidence. Where they've gotten it wrong, also tell them you have gotten it wrong here. Then you both go back to the book. فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. So this is what the solution. We continue to criticize each other, but with good intention. You criticize me, I criticize you with good intention. This is the way we have what? The perfect Islam. But you want me to be quiet on what? On your wrong areas. I want you to be quiet on my wrong areas. We have destroyed the deen and we have placed down or left behind for our what? For our offspring, distorted Islam. Distorted Islam. So this is what is very, very important. So you don't be scared of what? Of refutation. People are refuting you. Don't be scared. You are not an angel, nor you a messenger of Allah. You are a human being. You know some things, there are a lot that you do not know. When people refute you, listen. Try to know the area that you have gone wrong. Correct it. And when you see people going wrong, also watch, also refute them. Don't say, I don't want to talk. I don't want people to see me as somebody. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken that step, the true Islam wouldn't have not been presented to the companions. So you will see the companions doing the wrong thing, it will call their attention. When the companions wanted to correct this man, did they have bad intention? They had good intention. So how could somebody be urinating inside masjid? And you want them to watch, to fold their arms, look at somebody urinating inside the masjid. You have to correct him.
But when their correction went overboard, what did Messenger of Allah do? He also cautioned them, he corrected them. They wanted to correct that man, but the correction was like going overboard. They were also corrected. And you have what? The perfect Islam. Daruhu, leave him. La tuzrimuhu. Don't watch his urination. Huh? فَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُيَسِّرِينَ وَلَمْ تُبْعَثُ مُحَسِّرِينَ. Later, Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم called the man. He said that this is a mosque. You don't watch, you don't urinate in it. It's a place of dhikrullah. It's a place where the Quran is recited. He told the man, and the man appreciated it. The man wasn't a stubborn man. He didn't know. The way you treat somebody that is stubborn is different from the way you treat somebody that is what? Ignorant. And the man also made another mistake when he said, Ala Umar Hamni wa Muhammadan. Wala Tarham Ma'ana Ahadan. You know, when you see somebody treat you well, you like that person, you feel inclined towards that person. You see somebody that is harsh to you, towards you, you hate that person. So the man, some of the scholars said the event came after, some said it came before. So the man was not really comfortable with the way those people wanted to, with the way those people wanted to attack him. He felt, no, this is a good approach. That is the approach of the Prophet Muhammad. So Allah said, he had told him what the right thing, in a gentle way. But the man also went overboard in what? Allah Umar Hamni wa Muhammad. Wala tarhamana ahadan. Don't have mercy over any other person. It's better you Allah leave him. He also cautioned him too. Say, laqad hajjarta wasi'a. What is wide and spacious, accommodating? You have narrowed it. Why? Because wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay is what Allah said. My mercy encompasses everything. How can you narrow the mercy of Allah just down to me and you? We can't finish it. We can't finish the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see, look at the way corrections are going. Corrections are going. This is what we should be doing amongst ourselves. We correct each other. Some people want you to say, okay, so and so person is a mupedri. If you don't call him a mupedri, is anything going to happen? Correct him, correct him. Even if you feel he's a mupedri from what he's doing, it may not be compulsory on you to say so and so is what is a mupedri. But it's compulsory on you to watch. Correct him and what warn people from falling for his error. But okay, he's a mukhtadi. Now you may not need that unless if there is necessity or there is a need for you to say so and so is what is a mukhtadi. This is what some people ignorantly or mistakenly misunderstood from some of the mashayikh like Sheikh Al-Albani. Somebody said Sheikh Al-Albani never called somebody Mubtadi. That's incorrect. He referred to some people as Mubtadi in his Ashrita, likewise in his books. But it was not common with the Sheikh to be saying so and so is a Mubtadi, so and so is a Mubtadi. The same thing is applicable to Sheikh Mumba, Sheikh Mun Uthimi. They referred to some people as Mubtadi. But for you to be saying everybody Mubtadi, everybody Mubtadi, you also declare yourself as a Mubtadi. If you do not declare yourself, who will declare you? Because you can't tell me that everything about the being, you know everything and you are perfect. But this issue of what correcting one another is something that you must not run away from. Because you don't want people to tag you as what? Are you the only pious person? Are you the best person? You don't want people to tag you because of that. Then you are running away from correction. No. You are also falling for the plot of Shaitan. So you have to correct.
one another, we correct each other. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us and increase us in knowledge. So the basis here, the Sheikh says, I think that is clear. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tuzrimu da'uhu fata'aku." So that's another one. When Anas bin Malik قال إنما نحن في المسجد مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء عربي فقام يبول في المسجد. I think the meaning is clear. فقال أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that is to tell somebody not to do something. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزرموه دعوه فتركوه لا تزرموا يعني لا تقتروا عليه بولا. Don't make him break his relation. دعوه, leave him. فتركوه حتى بال, they left him until he finished his urination. ثم إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دعوه ثم قال إن هذه المساجد لا تسلو لشيء من هذا البول. Then the Messenger of Allah called him and said, this masajid, these mosques are not okay for something of urination, wal al qadar, or something of youth. Innama yali dhikrillahi wa salati wa qiraati al Quran. It is for the remembrance of Allah, for salah, for recitation of the Quran. Aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qal fa amara rajulan min al qawmi fa jaa bi dalwin mimma. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called a man and he asked him to bring a bucket of water. Fashannahu alayhi, yani sabbahu alayhi, he poured it on it. Mutafakun alayhi, is agreed upon. Lakin later al-Bukhari fi inna adhi al-masajid ila tamami al-amr bitanzih. In Sahih Bukhari, that addition of inna adhi al-masajid is not yet. To ila tamami al-amr bitanzih, to the completion of the clause ordering for the cleansing of the masjid. Wa qawlu, a statement, لا تزرموه أي لا تقتروا عليه بولا. وفي دليل على أن النجاسة على الأرض إذا استهلكت بالماء فالأرض والماء طاهران. So in this there is evidence that if a filth has been watched, has become مستهلكة, that it has been consumed, absorbed by water, فالأرض والماء طاهران. So the earth, that is that portion that has the filth before, and the water that has mixed with it, both of them have become what? Pure, have become clean. Because if they were not clean, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't have asked them to pour water. So وَإِلَّا يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا بِكَثِيرِ النَّجَاسَةِ لِلْمَسْجِدِ. So what that would mean, if not that the filth has been removed with the water poured, to mean that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ordered them to increase the filth, because if we pour water on the urine, so it spreads the more. So for him to have ordered them to have done that, for him to have ordered them to do that, it shows that what? That water has removed the filth. So the water, yes, you still see the traces here, because the soil will still be wet. It means that what the ground, the soil is pure, and the water itself is also what? Pure. So, as I've said, the Shafi'iyah, they differentiated between Urud al-Mai al-Najasa and what? Urud al-Najasa al-Mai. They differentiated between the two. So, then another thing that I would like to point out here, when
Abu Barakat said what there is is mutafakun alayh. Mutafakun alayh to him does not mean mutafakun alayhi according to the terminology of a lot of scholars of hadith. When a lot of scholars of hadith said is mutafakun alayh, what do they mean? Bukhari and Muslim. But when he said mutafakun alayh, this is not Bukhari and Muslim alone. Obviously. So that's a special terminology to him. And that's why when they are teaching us the science of hadith, Mustala al hadith, so they would tell us at times that this istilah is what is according to some people, while some scholars may not use the same istilah. I hope it's clear. So, wallahu alam, subhanaka lahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So the question is that some people say we should not mention names while correcting others. Is it correct?
Now, mentioning the names while correcting others, the basis is that if there is no need for it, if there is no need for it, then you need not mention names. But if there is need, then you have to mention somebody that if you not mention his name, people will fall for him. Then you have to mention the name. As long as what mentioning the name of that person is not going to lead to greater fitna, then you mention the name so that people watch. The people will avoid him. But for us to say don't mention him when you are correcting people, that's incorrect. For us to say mention the name of people whenever you are correcting, that is also what. Not correct. So you mention when there is need, you don't mention when there is no need. So that is what the scholars are upon. Wallahu
a'lam. Now, the second hadith is quoted about the man who urinated in the masjid. Okay, saying the masjid is named for remembrance of Allah.
No.
So does it modify the fact that other activities can be done in the masjid, like in a car? Naming ceremony,
can we do it in the masjid? The masjid originally is meant for that. It's meant for the dhukr of Allah, recitation of the Quran, salah. That is what the masjid is meant for originally. The masjid is not meant for urination, it's not meant for dropping and dumping of filth. It's clear from the hadith. But can we guarantee the masjid to sleep in the masjid, for instance, or to eat in the masjid, to play in the masjid? This may be permissible. Eating in the masjid may be permissible. Playing in the masjid may be permissible. Like what the people would do during Eid, during time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Habasha, the Ethiopians, would display something inside the masjid. You know, there was a dear Aisha of the Allah and I wanted to look at what they were doing. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam enabled her to look at what the people were doing until she was satisfied. So the people were playing with their swords, something like this. So this may be what may be permissible. So saying you are organizing nikah in the masjid, it depends on how the nikah goes. If it involves things of haram, then it will not be permissible. Like women that are half naked coming inside the masjid is wrong. Dancing, performing, all these things like that, things like this should not be allowed in the masjid. But if somebody says, as I wash to Kabnati, I married off my daughter to you, if that is done in the masjid, there is no harm. There is no harm. So it depends on what is being done. But the masjid essentially is meant for zikru, recitation of the Quran, and things like that. So, and things of filth should not be brought into the masjid. But can we do something like the issue of nikah, aqiqah in the masjid? This may be allowed if the people are dressed the way they should dress and they are not
doing things that are haram inside it. Wallahu alam.
Ruqya on a non-Muslim, do you allow?
Doing ruqya for a non-Muslim, there's nothing wrong in that. There's nothing wrong in that. When Abu Sa'id Khudri and some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were going and they got to a place, they asked them for Dhiyafa to host them, but the people refused to host them. And the leader of that clan, so to say, was bitten by a snake or by a scorpion. So, and they were looking for the one who can do ruqya. So Abu Sa'id Khudri, or one of them, did the ruqya, but stipulated they would take some things from them. So some sheep, and they collected this. So the point here is that a lot of scholars said that people, that tribe, the edge was not a Muslim. So they use it to say you can do ruqya for the kafir. You can do ruqya for the kafir. So Allahu alam.
An imam observed Maghrib with the people, but he decided not to observe Isha because like they want to observe Jam'u, maybe because of rain or something. So the imam appoints someone else to leave the Isha and do Jam'u while he's going out. Is this allowed?
What is the prince? If the imam is not convinced that they do Jam'u, you know, today a lot of people the eastern to do jamal. If it is cloudy, they do jamal. So this is wrong. This is what is wrong. If it is drizzling, they do jamal. This is wrong. The issue of jamal is something that the scholars have different positions on. Take for instance the Hanabila and the Malikiya. They are of the opinion that you can only do Jamu of Maghrib and Isha when it rains. When it rains, you can do Jamu of Maghrib and Isha. As for Jamu of Dhuhr and Asr because of rain, the Malikiya and the Hanabila do not support this. The Hanafiya have the strictest position on the issue of Jamu. To them, you can't do Jamu at all except in Arafah and Muzdalifah. Except in Arafah, the Jamu of Zuhr and Asr. Muzdalifah, the Jamu of Maghrib and Isha. Apart from this, to the Hanafiya, you can do Jamu. Every other hadith on Jamu, you interpret it to mean Jamu of Sur. That is imaginary Jamu. How? Say you delay Salah to Zuhr, for instance, to the last part of it. Immediately you finish Salatu Zuhr, Salatu Asri comes in. Then you watch, you pray it. So the one who is looking at you think you have watched, you have done Jamu. But in reality, you have done Salatu Zuhr at his time. Salatu Asri at his time. But on the surface, it's like you have done Jamu. So it remains the mazhab of the Shafi'iyah. The Shafi'iyah, they are of the opinion you can do Jamu of Zuhr and Asri when it rains. Likewise, Maghrib and Isha when it rains, but not when it drizzles, not when it drizzles, when it rains, not when it is cloudy, not when it is what? It's cloudy. So possibly the Imam is not comfortable with the Jamru the committee of the Masjid wants him to do. You know, at times the committee, they are people who dictate to the imam. If not at times, most of the time. Unless if you are a stubborn imam too, that you will succumb except for what Allah has said. So people can't push you. So, in that case, you may tell them that I'm not convinced, but if you are convinced, let somebody else does it. Then in this situation, it's excused. It's excused. But if he believes in Jamru too, that he can do Jamru of Maghrib and Isha in a situation like that, but he doesn't do it, what would be the reason? Maybe he's going to ease himself and things like that. Maybe, Allahu alam.
Last question.
Okay.
Let's take two also.
Is it possible for somebody wants to do cilia, a pregnant woman, for example, can she do cilia for the whole of the 30 days once?
Now, a woman that wants to do fidya because she's pregnant or because she's a nursing mother, can she do the fidya before the 30 days complete? Before the 30 days are complete? Wallahu a'lam, I don't know the evidence that says that. So if either she does it every day, or she delays everything to the end of the month, the way Anas radiallahu anhu do, and feed the 30 people. But for her to do everything in advance, no, that I don't know any evidence for that. Wallahu
a'lam. Okay, lastly, is it possible for somebody who reads the Quran always to be professed 19, and somebody who is already professed 19, if they read the Quran always, and the jinn?
Now, somebody being possessed by a jinn is a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the basis is when you read the Quran, you read it well, the jinn goes away from you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommends the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat Al-Kursi, and the likes. That is the basis. Reciting the Quran chases away the jinn from one. But if Allah wants to try one, one may be reading the Quran and one is possessed. That will be a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that may be a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing is that when we do some of these religious activities, we should try as much as possible to be sincere in whatever we are doing. Whatever we are doing, it is very, very important. One may be reciting the Quran, and the people see you as somebody who's reciting the Quran, but one is not sincere in it. So, if such a person is possessed by the jinn, somebody will say, he's reciting the Quran. Is it sincere? If he's sincere and he's still possessed by the jinn, you say, Qadarullah Masha'a, fa'al. But whatever you are doing, make sure you are sincere. Even if it is lecture you are given, you are addressing people, make sure there is what sincerity in whatever you are doing. Do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huh? Do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because I want to be aged by the people. I want to be praised by the people. So this matters a lot. So it is possible that somebody is reciting the Quran and the person is still possessed. It's still possessed. So that will be a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the companions were possessed. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did ruqya for them, recommended some things for them to be watched, to be reading. So and those companions, are they not praying? They were praying. So the trial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come anytime. But as I said, it is also important that whatever act of ibadah we are doing, let's be sincere. Because the people at times may read us contrary to what we are. Huh? The people see you as somebody is mashallah. But before Allah you are not mashallah. Because there is no sincerity. You are doing this so that people can say, so-and-so is a scholar, so-and-so is what, is an avid, so-and-so is this, so-and-so is that. So it matters. May Allah save us and protect every one of us. Subhanaka la'uma bihamdika shalan la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.